You guys are ready for a showdown this Tuesday? Super Tuesday for the election? That's the truth will come out. Amen? Well, good morning, everybody. And can you believe it? It's already November. And is there anybody celebrating their birthday for November? Hallelujah. Sister Mai, would you please come? Hallelujah. And Carla? And Carla? Three, two? Wow. Anybody else celebrating their birthday for the month of November? Anybody? Yun lang, that's it? Oh, your dad. Yeah. Okay. All right. Shall we extend our hand towards them? Oh, hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you that as a church we can spur or we can encourage, Lord, one another. And as the birthday celebrant for the month of November, Father, we pray that you will give them, Lord, assurance, Lord God, that their life is secured by the blood of Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, blessing upon them, Lord, as they celebrate their birthday for this month, that there will be more birthdays in the years to come for each one of them, Lord. And Father, we thank you, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have put us, Lord, in the church, Lord, where they can be nourished and be nurtured and know you more, Lord God. And Father, we pray that you will guide them. We pray for the Holy Spirit, Lord, to direct every step that they do, Lord God, and to let them know, Lord God, that there is a plan and purpose why they had here in this world, Lord God. And Father, we pray that you will bless them, Lord, abundantly, more than they can able to think and imagine, Lord, in their life, in the life to come, Lord God. And Lord, we ask all of this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear, happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. God bless you today. God bless you today. God bless you, God bless you. God bless you too always. Wow. That's a new one, huh? Amen. And now we would like to pray for the wedding celebrant at the wedding anniversary. Anybody got married in November? Nobody. Oh, Irvin and Mia. Yay. Can you bring and then bring the fruits of your labor? It's been a year? Oh, 2 years? Wow. 2 years. Yeah. Amen. Sister Rose, you wanna come and pray? Now you wanna come up too? Okay. Sister Rose, you wanna pray? Can we extend our hand towards him?
Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to pray for Irvin and me as they celebrate their second year anniversary. Lord, you have put them together. You says that let no man put asunder. I thank you that they shall grow up, Lord Jesus, continue to grow in their marriage, continue to grow closer to you as a family, Father God. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that in their household they shall say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I pray for wisdom for them, Lord, as they raise Elijah to be a man of God. I thank you, Father God, that you've called them to be a family and to be in service in your kingdom. Lord, thank you for their blessing. They are a blessing also to us. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for their service to you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Thank you. God bless you today. God bless you today. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you to wait. All right. Amen. Well, this morning, we're done with Galatians, right? So we're going to start another series. This may be another short series. And we're going to start in the epistle of Paul to the Ephesians. And Ephesians is only 6 chapters. So it's going to be a short message, a short mini-series in the epistle of Ephesians, of Paul to Ephesians. There is the Ephesians, it was written, is one of the prison epistles of Paul. It was written when Paul was in prison. And how many knows of you that there is, besides from Ephesians, there is 3 more epistles that was written by Paul while he was in prison? There is Ephesians, there is Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. Yeah, Philemon. So the Ephesians, why is Ephesians? Why is Ephesians important in the life of the believer? Ephesians is important because like Corinthians and Galatians, they have a personal touch from Paul. And Ephesians was written to show to the believer their responsibility to the Lord. What shall we do after we receive the Lord Jesus Christ? What shall we do? What do we just sit down and then just wait for the end times to come? Or is there something that God wants us to do? So the epistle of Ephesians is written for the believers, for the responsibility of the believers. As not compared to Galatians, when we study Galatians, how many of you remember what you learned from Galatians? Anybody? Galatians, remember Galatians? Paul wrote the letter to Galatians because there's somebody that came into the churches, and they're trying to implement about the what? About the law, right? Because there are Pharisees that saying, you're not saved until you become part of you do some rituals. They have to be circumcised, you have to be something. So that epistle was written to Galatians because there's a problem in the church. But the Ephesians is a unique kind of a epistle because this will tell the believer, tells you and me of what we're gonna do, how the word of God will apply in our life. Amen. So that's something, because there's a mystery that was written here. So I want you to turn your Bible with me in the Ephesians chapter 1. And what we're going to do, we're just going to read the entire chapter 1, and we will see if we can find some nuggets in there. Okay? And are you there in Ephesians? Are you all there? Brother Paul? Okay. Ephesians chapter 1, I'm going to read it from 1 to 23. So follow along with me. In chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Spiritual blessings in Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms and with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption from his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of his God's grace, that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to the good pleasure which he has purposed in Christ. You see that? There is that the word mystery. So if you have your Bible, you do, you can underline that word mystery. Because we're going to find, as we look up the epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, we're going to find the mystery that Paul is talking about here in the first chapter. And verse 9, we continue reading. Verse 9, and he made known to us the mystery of his will according to the good pleasure which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Verse 12, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be the praise of his glory, and you also were included in Christ when you hear the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with seal, the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is deposited, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Verse 15, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayer. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, in his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realm. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head of everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you for bringing us and allowing us, Lord, to explore this epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, Father God. And Lord, we pray that you will come and reveal to us the mystery that you mentioned here in the even the first chapter of Ephesians, Father God. And Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that are here, Lord, speaking to each one of us, Lord God. And we thank you. Thank you for the full manifestation of your body in the earth. That's the church. We thank you. And in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. So Ephesians is a very unique epistle of Paul to Ephesians. And in this book, in this epistle, we will see the corporate relationship with the Lord and with his church. And the book of Ephesians, it indicates or shows that the people are being put in there because there's a plan and purpose that God has instilled to each one of us. And the epistle talk about the church as a universal unit. It's not a denomination. That is not even a doctrinal position. It is comprised all over the world. And I believe that's the picture of the new world system. That there will be one church, one big church, constitute of every race and every nation and every tongues will come in there. But the thing is, they are the one formulating it. It's not Christ-centered. Amen? So as we study the epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, we can see that regardless of what church do you go through, whether you're in Four Square Church or in the Third Square or the whatever square church you come from, you go to. But then God says, you know what? There is a church which is the body of Christ. And that's the most thing that we can see here is the church, the body of Christ. And we will use that as our gauge that we are still in studying in the epistle of Paul. Because the church is the local expression of the term that church is being used. So there are two things that I would like to share with you this morning that we're going to use the epistle of Paul to Ephesians is that the church is the body of Christ. Amen? That's our foundation. The church is the body of Christ. It is the local expression. It's the local expression church. Amen? So as a human being, I belong to a universal unit as a family for the purpose, the reason for why God put us in this church, because for the purpose of love, for the purpose of the growth of each one of us, for the purpose of communicating and learning and being nourished in Christ, there God put us in a church. And for the purpose of love and fellowship, and growth and maturing, God's desire not only made us members of the human family, but to put us in a nucleus or in a very huge mass of people when the time comes, in the fullness of time. So sure, we are all members of the human family. But the disadvantage is that we don't develop as they could or should because in the absence of the care and protection and the communication, or we talk about, we exchange ideas, we exchange our daily lives, the church is supposed to be our That's our family. It's our family. Right? Amen? So that's what the epistle of Paul to the Ephesians. And as a Christians, indeed, we are part of universal church. Amen? Even though the ICFC here is a little church here, but still, because God or Jesus Christ is the head of this church, we are part of the nucleus or bigger than what we think is. Bigger than what we have, bigger than the rock church or other churches that has 20,000 members. There is a church of Jesus Christ which is bigger than what we think here. But because of this, the purpose of you and me are being in this church, this little church, is because that's where we're gonna experience the love of God, experience the purpose of nourishment, experience the purpose of fellowship and nourishment, and where we are getting fed or being taught so that we will be matured and fulfill what God is instilled for us. Amen? And the book of Ephesians is a great book on our corporate relationship with Christ. And God does not own children. At the moment I'm born again, the moment God become my heavenly Father, whether I like it or not, I am related to a horizontal level to every person as a Christian. Amen? As soon as you receive Jesus Christ, you become related to me. Right? And I'm related to you. Right? Amen? You are my sisters and my brothers, and I'm your brother. Right? Amen? But I know, but like other in other churches, they are my brothers too. When they receive Jesus Christ, they become my brothers and my sister. Right? And in fact, my growth and my development depend upon the interaction with local church, with local group of people. And it's easy for me to stand here in Loma Linda and say that, you know what, I love Brother Manny in Baguio, or Sister Mara Grace, the pastors that we support in the Philippines. It's easy for me to tell them I love them. Right? Because I don't live with them. But here in ICFC, you know, we say I love you, but then it's good, you know, it sounds very spiritual, but because if you only live with me, when you are there when I wake up in the morning, in the wrong side of the bed, then maybe you might think it over before you call me brother. Right? Right? Amen? You know, if you were there when I get irritated, when I get aggravated for something, and they will begin, probably you will begin to bring out some of the carnality that I have. Right? So that is why God put us in the church. Because I can love you because I don't know you, but who can love because you see me only every Sunday? But if I have to work with you all the time, and you have to put up with me all the time, maybe you start asking Sister Rose, how is Pastor Ed when he wakes up in the wrong side of the bed? But that is the whole point why God put us in the church. Because I can come here every Sunday and you see my best foot forward. You see me spiritually. You see me smiling. You see me worshiping. Right, Sister Pia? But you are not around when I lost my temper. Right? You're around. Sister Rose is around. See, you're not around when I roll up in the wrong side of the bed. You see, you might not love me quite so often when you know me. Right? So, and that's the whole point why God put us. The whole point why this epistle of Paul to the Ephesians was written. Amen? See, my problem comes when I cannot have my own way. Right? And Sister Rose will say big amen for that. And so that's the whole point. And that's why God put us together, so that we can find out what is wrong with us. Right? So that we can come to grip with it and let the Holy Spirit deliver us. Amen? And those people do not want to be part of the local church, whether they even realize it or not. They certainly would not verbalize it. But those are people that they don't want to be nurtured and to grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what happened when they come to International Christian Faith Church. They think that this church is great until they are there for a few weeks and somebody aggravates them, and they don't want to deal with that. So they go to the First Corner Church. They think that's a great church. And then somebody gets on their case and they go to another corner church. And they go to Rock Church. And you see, there is no perfect church. Right? That, in other words, they never deal with whatever's wrong with them and always going somewhere else. And that is why we need to get plugged in a local church. Because none of us would dare to say that we are perfect. Is anybody here perfect? No one. Except Elijah, keep preaching. See, because as long as we can cover it up, we do. And I'm correct, as long as we cover our sin, our mistake, you know, we'll try to do. And the only people that make it surface are brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? Amen? I wish I don't have to sit with her in the church. Just drive me up in the wall. You hear that? I attended the church that when you sit down in their chair, because you come early and sit down in their chair, and they won't come back in the church anymore because somebody took their chair. See? So this morning, the book of Ephesians is a corporate relationship that we have with the Lord. And in verse 1, it says, Paul declares his authority and his legitimacy in writing to them. He declared that he is an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. See? You see that in chapter 1 of Ephesians, the apostle of God, the apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. You see that? Amen? So whatever our gifts and calling may be, it had better be by the will of God. For it is the self-induced calling, it will not last forever. Right? It will not last forever if it's this just a self-induced calling that we have. So as we go through the book of Ephesians, I want you to notice the extravagant language that Paul uses it there. In other words, God has revealed not just a God, but He is the Almighty God. Did you notice that? The Almighty God. Everything that says about Him is just doesn't say about His power. It says mighty power. That we can find that in the epistle of Paul in the Ephesians. It doesn't say only power, but it is mighty power, or His power that work it mightily. For example, in chapter 3, verse 20, it says, "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we ask or imagine." See, the wordings of Paul, it's so rich and powerful, that it says, now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we could ask, imagine. You can see as Paul presents the Lord God, his abundant, his ability. It is not just a God that barely makes it through. See? That's why this epistle is so powerful. We overwhelm with his majesty and sovereignty. I want you also to notice that Paul uses the expression of in him and of him and through him and by him and of Jesus Christ in whom. So we need to understand that whatever God has to say to us in this book, it is because of the fact that we are in Christ. We are not just an orphan that has no father or mother that will discipline us. But there's God, Jesus Christ, that will discipline us. There's God, Jesus Christ, that has a set of the things that he wants us to do. Amen? So let's look up verse 3. Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessings in Christ. How did he do it? With Christ. Amen? For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight in love. See that the wordings that Paul is using, it's always in him, in his love. Right? And in verse 5, he said, he predestined us. Boy, that word has a very rich connotation or meaning. And there's so many people that have not have a different understanding of predestined us. So I'm just going to pause briefly because this has been, a lot of people have been arguing about predestination, about what does it mean? And they never come to an agreement yet. So I'm certain I could not give you the final word this morning about predestination. But you have to sort that out in your own relationship with God, and I'm sure he will reveal that to you. Amen? So, now in our relationship with the Lord, we generally emphasize the word, you must be born again, right? That's the first thing that every person who come to the Lord Jesus Christ, God said that you must be born again of the water and the Spirit. You must be born again. And certainly it's a marvelous truth to understand that we are born of God, right? It uses the term birth because it's a natural expression. Jesus repeatedly takes a natural thing which we are all familiar with. We are familiar with natural things. And to illustrate the spiritual truth is that, in fact, Paul says first the natural and then the spiritual. Because we cannot understand if we just first go to a spiritual without understanding the natural. And we talked about that yesterday, if you were here. Because when we were born again, we have a body, a soul, and the spirit. Right? We have the body which is natural. First, we were born natural. And then we have the soul. So, The birth is the natural expression. Jesus repeatedly takes a natural things in which we are familiar, and then he put it to spiritual. So what we do, we mean by birth. It means the reception of life, right? By birth, it means it's the reception, it's the growth of our life, the starting point. Life comes by the Father. Right? Women had a high and tremendous privilege in nurturing us or nourishing or sustaining life, but life originates with the male. How many could say that's true? Life originates with male. Right? Yes? No? It does not originate with female. She nurtured it, maintains it, sustains it, but life originates with female. My physical life came not from my mother. It came from my father. I know sometimes, you know, especially Nana is here, will not agree with me that my life came from my father. But my physical life came not from my mother, it came from my father. This is traditionally why we carry our father's name. Right? Rather than our mother's name, because he is the source of the origin of my physical life. Right? Now, what kind of life did my father, to review Puentes, give me? He gave me the only kind of life that he has, which was simply the natural life, which lasts, the natural life only lasts what? 70 natural life only lasts 70, 80, 90 years old, or those people that overblessed, they reaches up to maybe 92, 95, 96, 97, because they have overblessed. Right? That is the kind of life that my earthly father gave me. It's a life, it's a, my physical life that will only last 60, 70, 80, 90, maybe 100. But when I was born of God, or born again, that means the spiritual life, right, that I have. It did not come from Toribio Fuentes. That's my father. But it came from the Almighty God, right? Now, what kind of life does the Almighty God give? He gave a spiritual life. He gave the life that he has, right? What does God's life has? He has a spiritual life. Amen. Amen. To review point is give me a temporal or life that has an ending. Right? But when I was born again, or born of the Holy Spirit, or born of God, I received the gift of eternal life. Right? Come on, guys. You were here yesterday. This is what we talked about yesterday. I can forgive Sister Pia and Brother Paul. Right? I receive a gift of life because that's the kind of life that God has. And that is the kind of life that He imparts to all of us who receive Him. He is our Heavenly Father. He is the source, the origin of life. Do we not understand that? We don't really understand the doctrine of justification unless we pay some attention in the fact of a natural birth. Because it is full of spiritual implication. See, what Sister Myra told us yesterday about our natural life, you know what? We don't really understand the justification process until we understand the natural life that we have. Amen? Then, it is also said the word adoption. There are two ways, naturally speaking, become a child. The most normal, natural one is to be born into a family. Right? And then the second one is to be adopted. Now, what does adoption mean? It means that prior to this legal ceremony that we have, that we are members of another family. Right? So we are born of God because our spiritual life comes from Him. But we also have been adopted in the family of God. Because prior to that adoption, we were members of the other family. Right? Right? We belong to the family of... We belong to the family of... Adam. Or we belong to the family of the devil. Right? Our father is Satan. Before we become born again, we belong to another family. Right? That's why God, he said, I have to adopt you. Or else your father, Satan, is... And that's very important in our justification process. Remember, I mentioned to you that I went to Abundant Life Church in Rancho Cucamonga, and they have a big welcome statement. It says that, where do you gonna spend life? Eternity. But I think the question is, who is your father? Because your father determines where you are going. Which house are you going? Right? If your father is Satan, you will go to his house. Right? But if God adopted you, you will go to God's house. Right? Amen? Are you with me? And that's why the adoption is very important. Justification process is very important, because that's determined who is your father. Right? Think about that. If you have not received Jesus Christ as your Savior, your justification process, your father is Satan. I'm sorry about that, but that's true. Huh? John 8? 4:4? Let's look up that one. I'm glad you brought that, Brother Ray. John 8:44. Oh, wow. Thank you, Brother Ray. John 8:44. Let's look up that one, because you might be telling me, hey, Pastor Ed, that only comes from you. That was not in the Bible. But I'm glad Brother Ray helped me out here. Chapter 8, verse 44. Are you all there? Amen? Are you all there? Okay. Sister Pia, I want you to read that one. You say amen already. Okay. Oh, see? Did you see that in your Bible? Huh? I'm going to read it again in NIV. Okay? Verse 44 of chapter 8. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding the truth, for there is no truth in him. See? That's why God has to be adopted us. Right? Amen? So we are born of God because our spiritual lives come from him, but we also have been adopted in the family of God, because prior to that adoption, we were members of another family. So we belong to the family of the devil rather than to the family of God. So I'm preaching salvation. We make mention heaven and hell, and they are real place. Right? Heaven and hell are real. Do not believe somebody says it's a stage of your... What did you say that? It's just in your own pigment of your imagination about the hell, but that's true. Or else Satan is not true, or God is not true. Right? But I would rather surprise some of you and change a little bit on your focus this morning. The real issue is that either you are going to heaven or not, or going to hell. The real issue is, who is your father? Now you can ask yourself, who is my father? So if you are not born again, Your father is Satan. Right? Because that is where you are going to go. The location is not what is important. It's who is your father. So, because God live up there and Satan lives down here. And you simply become, you're going home to be with your father. So the real issue is not where is your house, but whose house do you belong to? Right? Whose family do you belong to? Who is your father this morning? Amen? And I want you to be serious about it because the day of the Lord is coming. And I don't wanna see you in Satan's house. I'd rather see you in God's house. Right? So if God is your father, you're going to live with him. If the devil is your father, that's where you end up. That is the real issue. Whose family do you belong to? It uses not only the word birth, which also indicate our salvation or justification, but we will never understand the doctrine of sanctification unless we understand the meaning of adoption. In other words, you belong to another family because you were legally transferred into his family. And you carry many, many of the attitude, the habits, the characteristic, and the ways of the previous family. How many say amen for that? See, whatever is the characteristic of your old family before God adopted us, it will show you're going to bring that with you. When you move, it doesn't wipe you out. It comes with you. When God adopted us in his family, the attitude, the characteristic that we have when we belong to that family, we're going to carry that. And that's why, first, the justification process, the salvation, when we know who is our Father, but then when we carry the sanctification process, sanctification, when we come to the family of God, you had been 30 years old, 30, when you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, you are 30 years old. That means your attitude, when you were here 30 years ago, it's been in your life. When God adopted you here in his family, that attitude, that characteristic that you have there, you're going to bring it here too. Because it doesn't just take you out. You know what I'm saying? When you are disobedient to your father over there, you're going to be disobedient here until there's a sanctification process that will come through in your life. Amen? That's powerful. We don't understand that process, the adoption process. It's hard to understand the salvation, the justification, and then the sanctification process here. So that's why it's important for us to know this happening in our life so that God will fully understand of who he is and what is our relationship with him. Amen? Are you with me? Because God wants to get the best of us. He wants to get involved in our life. He wants to be part of your life. And that's why this Paul talking about the adoption, that you will be an adopted, that there's a predestination in your life. God had a future when you were still hidden in the womb of your mother. His eyes is already there on you. Amen? Amen? So that's the normal process. That's the thing that we need to understand, because it conveys our relationship, depending on our relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? So Apostle Paul would say in Romans 8:38, says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights or depth or any other created things shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. So, in other words, there's nobody can stop us from the love of God. The only thing that will stop us, is you and me. Amen. That's why we need to study the Word. We need to study the Word of God, and the promises of God is so surmountable that it's all in there, that the Lord is interested in you and me. Amen. I'm glad that you and I are legally adopted. We are not just living in His house, but we have been legally adopted into the family of God, and we become partakers. We become partakers of the divine nature. You see that? That's Sister Myra. That's our message yesterday. We become partakers, not only partakers. Partakers means we are partner with God. See, we become partakers of the divine nature. So, not only the physical nature, but the divine nature of Jesus Christ. That's what's able. That Jesus Christ. That's why Paul said, "Christ in me." Because he knows that he partakes the divine nature of Jesus Christ. Woo! Amen. You see, I'm not a devil that is looking in every position, but now that the divine nature of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. So that's the content that's the purpose why Paul has written, and as we go along with this epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, man, there's so much thing, they're so rich in our relationship with God, amen. And I want you to stir up your desire. That says, you know what, Pastor, I want to know more about the epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, because this will really help you invigorate and stir up your relationship with Him. Amen? And for the next 6 weeks, there are 6 chapters. We're just going to read 1 chapter every week, and then we'll see the overall on that chapter, and then we will study. Amen? Shall we all stand? Oh, hallelujah. I'm excited. Every time I study the Ephesians, man, can you just imagine that you become partakers? That when God adopted us, you know, He did not leave us orphans. Right? There's the Father in heaven, that I have a relationship, that I'm related with the God that created the heavens and the earth. Amen? So once we understand the justification process, the physical part, now it's easy to understand the spiritual part. Right? Amen? So that's very important in our walk with God, and now in our relationship with God. Amen? So there is a genuine Christianity. It's not what we have in our head, but who lives in our heart. Who lives in your heart this morning? It's Jesus Christ. Amen? Shall we pray? Yeah, we worship Him. You could come up. Father, we thank You this morning. And as we explore the epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, Father, we pray that You will continue to stir up our heart, Lord God, to know more of You, Lord Jesus. Not just like the surface, Lord God, but it's the deeper side of You, Lord God. the deeper side of Paul, Lord Jesus, that he can say that it is not I that lives, but Christ is in me. And Father, we help us, Lord, that we may be able to stand before you, Lord God, that it is not the life of Ed Fuentes that lives, but it is the life of Jesus Christ that lives in me. That my prayer, Lord, is that anyone could stand before you, Lord, that can proclaim the same proclamation that we have, Lord, that it is not Christ, it is not Ed, Lord, but it is Christ that lives in me. And Father, we thank you today. Thank you for your presence, Lord. And Father, we praise you, Lord, and as we bring our tithes and offering to you, Lord God, help us, Lord, that we will spend the tithes and offering according to your word, Lord God. That every givers, Lord, will be blessed, Lord God. And even to those who cannot give, Lord God, Father, we pray that you will speak to them, Lord, in your own way, Lord God. That they may understand, Lord God, our relationship to you, Lord God. It's not like just a physical, Lord, but we know that physical things, Lord, help us to understand the spiritual things, Lord, in our life. And Father, we thank you today, and we ask all of this through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And everybody said, amen, amen.
Pastor, for our offering, let's sing, give.